Last week, so today's message is sleeping and moving, right? Last week, we looked at James killed by Herod, and we looked at the question of why did God allow James to be killed, and now Peter, we find, is allowed to escape, right? Why was that? Okay. And then what I find interesting here is Peter. Peter, have you ever been in jail? Has anyone ever been in jail? Get out. Oh, you okay? Okay. I thought there's a wanted picture for your face back there, but if you've ever been in jail, so think about this. Think about Peter. Remember who Peter was? A disciple who walked away from Jesus at the end, like all the disciples all walked away. Peter denied Jesus three times, denied him, and cursed, right? He said, this is an apostle. This is Peter. So Peter, who followed Jesus, walked away from Jesus, denied Jesus three times, prison. Saw his friend get killed by Herod. So here's Peter in jail, knowing that his friend was just killed, knowing the persecutions that have taken place amongst Christians, and what's he doing? He's sleeping. Now, Peter must have been a really sleep-deprived guy, number one, because he fell asleep in the garden too, didn't he? Like the disciples fell asleep. So he's either really sleep deprived, or he really understood about casting all your cares upon the Lord, right? And that's kind of what I think of this. And when you look at what Peter taught in 1 Peter, and we're going to jump into that, about all these cares that we sometimes bottle up. Have you ever been under so much anxiety at nighttime, stuff going on? You lay awake at night. How many people in here have laid awake at night, even like for an hour or two? Right. Come on, raise your hand because your mind's going, right? Right. It happens to us all the time. So now you think the stressful situation that Peter was in, knowing that Herod just killed your friend, knowing that the Jews wanted you dead, and you're in there surrounded by guards, no way to get out, shackled by his with two chains, with multiple guards around him, and then at the doors and at the gates, and he fell asleep. I know I would have been like, and I'm going to die, right? That's what I would have been thinking. 1 Peter 5:7, and this is what Peter tells us when we get to 5:7. He really must have understood this verse, because this is what he wrote in verse 5-7. Humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The only way, in my opinion, that Peter could have been falling asleep there is because he truly understood what he wrote in 1 Peter. That he had all his cares upon the Lord. And this is why. Peter, now seeing everything that he saw as an apostle, being filled with the Spirit, seeing his brothers get cut off and killed, that still didn't cause so much anxiety that he couldn't sleep while he's in a prison. So as he sat in the prison, he could still relax and understand. Why? Because he understood life. Then he understood at this point in his life that if they kill me like they did James, that's God's plan. Because I'm just going where? I'm just going to be with Jesus. And we know earthly relationships. He was a husband and probably a father. And so he had stuff going, but he was not filled with anxiety. In today's world, our society, and we all, you know, have different places as we go, and anxiety in our society is a huge industry, right? There's like 10% of people are on anxiety medications, and there's people that spend all kinds of money for calmness programs and wellness, all this stuff, which if anyone's on, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying. That's how, because as people, we are anxious. As people, sometimes we're not putting all our trust, and we try to, right? We try to, and that's kind of where we have a disciplined, we try to cast all our cares, and then we lay there, and then all of a sudden our mind will not stop. And we just worry, and we think about our kids, and we think about what's going to happen with that. How am I going to pay that bill? What's going to happen over there? And all this stuff compounds in our head. And so many times we forget about casting, even if we try, because we're so human that we forget this principle. We forget this principle. That's a principle that we need to continue to try to discipline ourselves in. Then what we also find here is angel. So the angel, so Peter was sleeping so good that the angel had to like kick him. He had to hit him. Get up. And it's like he wasn't like, you know, just not gentle. So he was out. The angel came in, hit him, tells him to get dressed. So Peter had like, he was like, he was comfortable sleeping. Just not like, I'm in. So he was comfortable. Angel comes in, gets him out of bed, takes him through the city, gets him all out. The escape plan was made, so we know that Peter was sleeping. God provided him sleep. God provided him, what, the calmness that we all have as well, to cast all our cares, because he will take care of us. And we forget that. Me being probably the first one to get it, right? But he also supplies an escape plan, just like here. Peter knew he could have been like James. He could have been like John the Baptist. He could have been like Stephen. He could have been like all these guys that were killed. He didn't have a care, but yet God provided him the escape plan. Why didn't God provide James, a couple verses ahead, of an escape plan? Why? Because God had a plan for Peter. God's plan for James was completed, whatever that may have been, and his purpose was served, and God called him home. Peter's job was not done. Peter's job now was just starting. Like he's still on the purpose. He's still driving of what the Lord wanted him to do. So his escape plan wasn't, hey, you're coming home to heaven. His escape plan was like, the angel's coming, and we know there's a heavenly battle, the heavenly realms. Remember in Daniel, we talked about the heavenly realms, and I think about this too. Did this angel get blocked, like in Daniel, when the angel got blocked in the heavenly realms? Was there this battle going? Of course, there's a battle going on. That heavenly battle is constantly going. We have to remember this battle that we can't see is constantly going. So it was happening here, and the angel came out, and he took Peter, and he got him through the guards, and he got him to a safe spot, and that safe spot was Mary's house, and they were up there praying. They were praying for Peter, right? How many times do we not pray? How many times when we get that anxiety mode going, and we're worried about stuff, and we're worried about our friends, we're worried about our church, we're worried about whatever's taking place in the world, and we just don't pray. These guys were up there praying. They were praying, coming before the Lord, who all our cares are supposed to be cast upon him. Cast all your cares on the Lord. So they're up there praying, and the Spirit's working, and the angels released and then takes Peter and moves in there. And the servant girl, she forgets to open the door. It's kind of almost like something you see on Saturday Night Live, or do they even watch Saturday Night Live? Do you guys watch Saturday Night Live anymore? It's like, all right, so anyhow, sorry, that's like maybe the 80s, right? So God had this plan, and he had this escape plan. His escape plan for James was death, which is a good escape plan for somebody, if that's what the Lord's plan is for you, right? He went home. Peter's escape plan was, I'm not done with you yet. You have to continue to minister the gospel and build this church that we have planned, because this is this is God's plan. This is how God has it planned. So God provided this out, this escape plan. Now, when we get into verse 18 and 23, I find it interesting, like, Herod here puts his big search out, and it kind of goes back almost to how Christ was, right? They put the search out, they're looking for Jesus, where'd Jesus' body go? They make this story up. Herod wasn't playing games with this one. He was like, with the other guards as well, they told him to lie, they told him to do this. Herod now, he's just mad. Peter's gone. We know that the death of James really juiced up the Jews and was made Herod look good. And that's why he was going after Peter. He escaped. The guards were all there. How could this happen in our human mind? How could it happen? The only way that could have happened in our human thought process is these guards all fell asleep, or someone let him out and they let him escape because they were maybe traitors. That's the only thing you could, but if you were Herod, who didn't believe in God, if you were Herod, who had no concept of Jesus being the Messiah, well, an angel's not going to come down and guide him through the network to get out of the city, right? It doesn't make sense. So he kills all the guards. And all the guards are put to death. So you know the guards wouldn't be letting them out. So scripture's telling us that the angel came and let Peter out. Peter still had a purpose. And then we know as he goes to the upper room, or to the room, they think it could have been the upper room where this was all taking place, but nonetheless, he went to the room where they're all praying, where they're all meeting together, and he told them what happened, and he was still kind of shaken. So even though, and that's kind of back to the human, like our humanness of us, is he goes to the door, and he's going, they're kind of like, Peter, you're here! And he's like, shh, be quiet! I just escaped by this angel who let me out the door. This gate opened automatically, like it was crazy. And he's telling me, and he's like, be quiet. Because he really didn't want to die either, right? He's like, be quiet. I don't want to be captured. And then he told him what happened and went on his way to another location. But he says, tell James. James here now. He says, tell James. What verse is that? Tell James and the brothers about this, he said, and then he left for another place. That's verse 17. Tell James. James, it wasn't the apostle James, because what happened to apostle James? He was murdered, right? So this James is the half brother of Jesus. This is the James that, as the half brother of Jesus, as we know in scripture, did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. This is the James who Jesus met with after he was resurrected from the dead. This is the James, his half-brother, who once seeing Jesus after he died and talking with him, knew without a doubt that this was the Messiah. This is the James. Peter says, tell James and the brothers of everything that happened. Because he's informing them God is working, right? I mean, Think about that. Think about that. So then this is all taking place. This stuff all starts to unfold. And then you get into this last part of the chapter about Herod, which I find interesting. He has this meeting. Like, after all this takes place, Herod has this meeting with this group. The group was coming to Herod because they got their money, they got their food, they got their supply from him. They needed to work a deal, a peace deal, and they needed to get so they could continue to have their food. During this takes place, the people cry out because Herod then talks and he's sitting there in splendor. And if you read, scripture talks about it, but then the historian Josephus also calls it, the Jewish historian calls it out too, and talks about this setting of how Herod, during this meeting, was set in this splendor, and he was like all this silver. He just looked like, wow, this guy, because he talks about his death. And when the people called out and said, this isn't a man, this is God. And Herod didn't deny. He kind of was just like, come on, bring it on. I'm God, right? He didn't say, no. He didn't give glory to God. He did not humble himself. He would not recognize God. He was what? He was killed. Then you think, okay, what's the difference here now? Herod was killed because he did not humble himself once he was called a God. And so he was killed for that. Scripture doesn't say he was killed because he murdered James. He wasn't killed because he murdered James. This was a guy who was anti-God, anti-Christ, right? Anti-everything, anti-religion, anti-God. He kills an apostle. So a human hand was allowed to kill an apostle. God didn't strike him dead because he killed James. God had a plan that had to happen. He struck him dead at the end of this chapter because he did not. Wow. So an apostle, and in my mind, I'm like, you know, there's God, there's Jesus, and then there's the apostles, right? Like these guys who serve to their death to go out and minister the gospel. Like in my mind, I'm like, these guys are awesome, right? Like you just, but God here saying, no, we're not here to worship like man. We're not here to worship money and all this other stuff. God says, I'm God. Full honor comes to who? Comes to me, to God. God. Acts, you know, a true worship. This true worship thing, right? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit in Acts 17. You can jump there or not. It doesn't matter. Acts 17. Just kind of laying this out. 24 and 27. When you think about this whole thing right here. 24. Yeah, 17, 24. Then God, who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of the heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. All this stuff comes from God. 17, 24, and 25. Everything comes from God. So now as we go back and kind of review just kind of where we all are, we think about the Jews, right? The Jews, we know the Jews wanted Herod to kill the apostles. And so many times, and I watch it now and I think about it now, and coming back to our modern world, our modern, like what's going on here now today, where we are upholding the Jewish society as God's chosen people, right? Because we're called to do that. And we know so many times the Jewish people are walking away from the Messiah, not towards the Messiah, but nonetheless, there's a remnant, and we're called to what? We're called to uphold and honor God, and we're supposed to stand with Israel. We're supposed to stand with the Jews, but so many times the Jews aren't standing with anything that Scripture talks about the Messiah at all. But yet, there's a remnant. Yet God has a Israel, right? And we watch it, and this is kind of where I jumped through this morning. I saw this article. I just read it this morning. And I was kind of like, dude, this guy was reading this, like his opinion. I was like, and this from a Jewish person. And I was so like, what's your problem? I mean, sorry, that's kind of, I was like, what in the world are you thinking? And I was thinking, well, the problem is they're deceived, right? And sometimes, a lot of times I get mad and but they are deceived. The deception that is under Jewish people to blind them from the Messiah as being the Messiah is great, is so great. This, I wrote this article that was posted. It was actually what's today. So he was a Jewish guy, Jewish man, lives in Israel. And he's a well-known Jewish guy. I don't know who he was, but he's a well-known Jewish guy, I guess, in Israel. So he went on this trip, and he's kind of mad at Christians, and he's mad at Muslims. Okay, I get the Muslim thing. They're trying to kill you all the time, right? So we get that. But he's mad at Christians. I'm like, why are you mad at Christians, man? So this is what he said. Upon returning home to Jerusalem, I was struck by the full scope of what we face in Israel. And he goes on to say, he says that there's a relentless battle by radical Christian missionaries. Right? Most Israelis remain unaware of these conversion efforts and that they're even willing to excuse it or to ignore it. Because this guy, going back to the Pharisees, Sadducees, you remember like how the Jews hated Jesus? Right in there with him because he hates Jesus, right? That's the Jews in beginning of, or in chapter 12. They wanted these apostles dead. This guy goes on to say, we Jews need to stubborn non-belief in Jesus. The non-belief in a God of the flesh gives us the ability to see and believe in the impossible. Like this guy's out there. Extremist Christians want to convert us to adhere to their physical view of God, a tangible theology that minimizes doubt and wonder. Oh, what did I just read? It wasn't like, didn't minimize anything, right? For this, they need to convert us to be triumphant in their religion. For this, they try to pull us away from 175 generations of Jewish history to become Jesus followers. Like this guy's mad at Christians. This guy is the same type of guy that was at the cross mocking Jesus to be put to death, right? This type of guy was the same guy who was telling Herod, kill James. This type of guy is the same guy who was wanting them to kill Peter. And this type of guy is the same guy that we see now that's deceived, that has not had his eyes open to who the Messiah is. So this type of guy is the same guy who Peter wanted to reach, right? This is a Jewish person that Paul, that James, that Jesus all talks about that they wanted to reach because they were lost. And that's when I remember for me, instead of getting mad and thinking to myself, just shut up. Like, what's your problem? That they're blind. People are blind. And we're all blind sometimes, right? That's what was going on. And it still happens today. This still happens today. So for all of us, what I'm pulling out of this is get a good night's rest. Get a good sleep, right? Cast our cares upon the Lord. Peter had no problem. I mean, he was sleeping like a baby in that prison cell. And there's an escape plan. If God has a purpose for you and he's not done with us as people, and it's not our time to be pulled, there's an escape plan forever what we ever think that there's not. The Lord, if we're planned to do something next, there's an escape plan. And then we finalize the whole book on this whole chapter, in verse 24, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. So through all this chaos, all this stuff happening, the word of God continued to spread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to continue to spread your word. Help us to remind ourselves that you love us. You love lost people. You tell us to cast our anxiety and our cares, all this stuff upon you. Help us to do that. Lord, help us to remind ourselves that you are in control and that you have a purpose. And if your purpose is, if we're still walking in your purpose and we're not done, then you provide escapes. Help us, Lord, through all this. Help us to remember that there's a lost people of Jews and Muslims and Gentiles all around us all the time that we're called to speak the gospel. Help us to remember that. In your name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed. Sorry.